All right, have a good show.
Yeah, you too. Yeah. Just stay focused. You got your beer?
Yep.
Cool. I got my water. You good?
Yeah.
From Buffalo, New York, future birthplace of the unbreakable tailgating folding table, it's the Struggle Is Real Buffalo Music Podcast.
Welcome to the Struggle Is Real Buffalo Music Podcast on allwnyradio.com, where we talk about the good, the bad, and the funny of being a musician in the 716. I'm Ryan Gurnett.
And I'm Dennis Reed Jr.
Today we have an interview with Tom Burtless of Buffalo synth-pop group Humble Braggers. We'll talk with Tom about opening for Metric, getting his music on television shows like The Flash, the 80s music revival, and the group's writing and recording process. And of course, we're going to play a couple songs from their amazing 2017 album, I Know Better, I'm No Better.
Yep, and that is a visual pun for those of you listening at home. Go to our website, you can see how that unpacks. And finally for this episode, Ryan goes to war with the Montage Theater.
Fuck those guys. But first, breaking news. This is a Struggle Is Real news alert. Dennis. After begging our listeners for months to send us messages, to interact with us,
yeah,
to tell us what they think,
yeah,
we got a message.
That's awesome. Wait, okay. All right. Let me guess. Well, first of all, thank you to whoever did send us a message and wanted to hear our opinion. We won't let you down. So what they want to know, like what bands, local bands they should be listening to?
No, they did not.
Oh. Did they want to sign our band, The Lady or the Tiger?
No, they definitely didn't want to do that.
Probably they wanted to sponsor the podcast, maybe buy us a nice mixer.
No, they didn't.
Was it from a new band that wants us to take them under our wing and guide their musical and spiritual evolution?
Close.
Was it an indecent proposal? Was it hate mail from Slim Chance of the Can't Hardly Playboys?
Oh, I welcome that. You want to come at me?
I'm hoping.
Slim Chance? His wrists are probably sore from posting on Craigslist too much.
Actually, I think they have somebody else posting for them. There's a woman
His wrists are probably sore then.
There's a woman in the North Tonawanda Facebook group that I admin that is posting on their behalf now. So this is kind of like karma, like they're following me. But anyways, so it was none of that. What was the message?
A band wanted us to talk about them.
Oh, like seeking self-promotion?
Yeah.
Oh.
That's it.
All right. Well, moving on then.
Yay, we got a message. Seriously, folks, send in your comments, your hate mail, Twitter, Facebook, MySpace, Friendster, Makeout Club, any way you want. And looks like we'll talk about just about anything.
Makeout Club?
Remember, Makeout Club was like pre-Friendster.
Oh my god, no, I don't remember that.
It was probably like 2002. Ooh. It was a great place to meet people, actually.
Okay. And do what?
It's called Makeout Club, Dennis.
Oh, okay.
Use your imagination.
I don't get it. Dude, what's happening with the band Lotto?
So, it started with 9 bands.
I'm sorry, the Sugar City Band. Is that the official name?
It's the Sugar City Band Lottery.
Okay.
And the showcase is June 2nd at the Adam Polish Last Name Library.
Okay.
And which this... we'll post in the notes because I don't even want to disrespect his name because I can't. I just can't say it. I don't... Anyway, so we started with 9 bands. 3 of them have run out of steam, so we're down to 6.
Oh, really?
Yes. There has been no further explanation. I knew one of them dropped out, and 2 said they steamed out, which I still don't.
Oh.
That could kind of go a few ways, but, you know, this is what happens. You put people... I mean, you put people who want to be together in a band, and sometimes you won't last 3 months.
Yeah, and they
months.
Can't make the distance.
So, but there's 6 people left, and I think, Dennis, you put it best when we were talking about it before... I found the soul in my voice.
You did?
Yes, I found my volume and I found this grizzle in the bottom of my throat that you can't hear because I sound like a 12-year-old when I talk.
Right.
But it's there! Ooh. And whoa! And no, I've gone from being really nervous about this entire experience to like, I am really looking forward to going out there and maybe I can sing? Like, we're gonna find out.
Wow.
So, you know, I talk a lot of shit on this podcast, so yeah. If anyone wants to, you know, see some shit back.
All of a sudden your voice went to manhood.
I just kept getting louder and louder, and I found usually with, and you can hear my voice, typically yeah. What I have been used to my life is when I raise my voice, I sound like a teenage girl.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently, I've done enough damage to my throat now where that's not the case.
Oh, great.
And I had no idea. That's probably been like this for 10 years. I had
great.
No idea. So, you know, my voice is finally, yes, it's 37, 36. How old am I? Not to make me sound arrogant, it's kind of Morrison-esque.
Oh, jeez.
So,
yeah, just start at Jim Morrison, dude. Don't, you know, don't mince your words.
Yeah, no. So we've got a 12-minute set.
Would you say your voice is legendary already?
I think one way or another, good or bad, my voice will be legendary at this performance.
Okay. Very good. It'll be the stuff of cautionary tales, I think is what you mean.
If nothing else, yes.
Not a legend, but...
Yeah. Well, best case scenario, I'm really good, and then I die in a bathtub.
Thessaloniki, great fire of Thessaloniki, great fire of Thessaloniki. Like the murder of Franz Ferdinand, this spark got quickly out of hand. A radiant disease spreading through the streets of Greece. I brought you into this world and I can take you out. They shout as the flames inflate and bounce from house to house. Gluttony, pure gluttony, a blazing beast engorged on dreams. Eating everything it sees and leaving only suffering. Great fire of Thessaloniki.
We have searched high and low, or like made a one post or two on Facebook, and we have found our intern. Nate, I don't know how to say your last name, so you're going to have to lead with that.
It's Nawarda.
Well, Nate Nawarda, welcome to the Struggle is Real Buffalo Music Podcast as our first and only intern.
Yes. Yeah, it's great to be here.
We have to use the word intern because we're not paying you.
Right.
You don't mind, I hope.
No. Ryan just left that out of all of our previous communication.
Oh, that's what we like to surprise people when they actually get here.
Yeah, well, yeah. It's nice because I caught the first version of the script, and originally you had dumbass interns, so uh-huh. I appreciate you taking that out at least.
Well, listen, we're going to learn about you in just a minute, but I would like to present you with the one perk that you get for being part of the Struggle is Real team, and that is your medium, hand-pulled, Gildan, 100% cotton, Struggle is Real Buffalo Music Podcast t-shirt.
That is
so there
awesome.
You are. I'm actually handing it to you. It's an aqua color.
There's a buffalo on it, and the bass clef is the horn.
Yep, it's extreme.
I love that the bass clef is a horn.
It's extremely clever.
Yeah.
Enjoy
you designed it,
and then? Treasure. Yes,
yeah,
I did.
Yes, you did. Well, I like it less, but it's all right.
Because I designed it?
So, Nate, you just performed with your band under Darth Nader for the first time at Mohawk Place.
Yeah.
Tell us about the people in your band and how the performance went.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. I've been doing the solo project thing since, like, 2014, right when I first started college. And I put out some albums that I just produced in my bedroom. And it got to the point where I just got, like, bored of just, you know, playing with myself.
Uh-huh.
And I figured I would have some friends. So I found some people that I've played with in other projects that never really, like, we either broke up or... And the bassist that I played with, it was just a basement band. I don't know if you guys have ever been in groups that never actually played a show.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
but we played together for like 2 years in a basement. So, yeah, it,
oh, okay.
It was cool. And then the drummer, Diana Nowak Riffle Danusha Beats, she goes by.
Yes.
Who's a... in my opinion, one of the best drummers in Buffalo.
I've seen videos of her. Yeah. Like, she is... we've shared a few of her videos on the podcast page. I've yet to meet her. I'd really like to. She just seems like she's an amazing player. Like,
absolutely.
Top-notch.
Yeah, so why don't you give your... Nate's an awesome songwriter and does a lot of home production and recording and stuff. Why don't you give your band camp address? We'll put it in the show notes, too, but...
Yeah, yeah. Darth Nater, D-A-R-T-H-N-A-T-E-R .bandcamp.com. You can... any social media you can look me up on. I have a website, darthnater.com. Just Google Darth Nater, and I'm sure you'll find something.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, definitely check him out, and welcome. Thanks for joining us. And Nate's going to help us with some video production, too, and he's going to chime in and share his wisdom of the struggle on our show here. And
he's bringing us out from behind the microphones and into your faces, which means I might have to, like, trim my beard from time to time.
Yeah, I'm not even bothered. I've given up. I gave up actually 4.5 years ago. And it's no time to change course now.
We're going to do a Kickstarter and get you a toupee for the videos, too.
I don't want a toupee.
No. I think the hat thing works, right?
Like, yeah, I mean, just that's fine. I got a fucking hat. Everybody just assume I'm bald. I don't care.
Yeah.
I really
Fair
don't.
Enough.
It's the worst thing is in photographs, like when I get under some of these stage lights, because being bald is hard enough, like just as a person running around in life. But like, then you're on stage playing with a band and somehow, well, I guess because I sing, I usually find my way to center stage and under like the one light that's like hotter than all the rest of them. And in at least 60% of videos that are ever shot of our band, I look like a translucent ghost. Like I look like the ghost of Hamlet's father, like come back. Like I'm a fucking apparition.
For me,
so the hat helps a little bit.
Yeah. For me, the reflection usually reminds me of the cover of Dark Side of the Moon. It's really just like,
and you can see the refracting light coming off of my head into its constituent elements.
You're so you're so white, you're practically opaque and
I'm pasty,
prismatic, if you will.
Yeah, I'm so white, I'm prismatic. Yeah, so I don't care. I don't want the toupee. I got a hat. It's fine.
We played Porchfest 2018.
Yes, we did. The Lady of the Tiger, Ryan and I's original band.
Yeah, so Porchfest has been going on for at least a few years now. I'm not 100% sure. And basically, I believe...
I think 5 or 6.
They had, I think it was about 90 bands all performing on people's porches. A lot of it was down Elmwood. We performed on near Highland in Richmond, which is a couple blocks from Elmwood.
Yep.
And quick thanks to Britt, who shared her house with us and let us use her bathroom and gave us a drum rug, amongst other things.
Yep.
Thanks to Cypher, who played after us. They're a cool, I mean, they're a jam band.
Yeah.
And I dug it. And we lucked out with the weather. It stopped raining 15 minutes before we got on. So we had it was a decent crowd. It was a really fun time. I definitely recommend people getting in on it next year if they see it mentioned.
Yeah, I have to admit, I didn't get a chance to check out any of the other acts when we were there. I kind of drove in and we did our gig and then I hung out and listened to some Cypher and then I had other shit to do that afternoon. So did you catch anybody else that was down there?
No, I wasn't able to catch anything else.
No, we are bad citizens.
I'm an old man. I need to get home early.
Yeah, I understand.
I don't want to miss Matlock.
But it was touch and go in the middle, in the early part of the day. It was drizzling out when we were on our way out there. It was raining, and our awesome porch hosts, Britt, and I can't remember her husband's name. Apparently, he's another NT guy.
It begins with an M.
Okay.
It's a Mike or a Matt, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Let's call him Mike. He and her, they dragged all their porch furniture off of their porch and out into basically on the sidewalk and street and set up a tent so that people could stay out of the drizzle and watch us. So what few people actually, you know, stuck around, I think were in large part due to their efforts. That was great.
Absolutely.
And then we had a bit of a strange, miscommunication at that gig there too.
Yes. So, Dennis?
Yeah.
Struggle's real.
So, things don't always go as planned when you're out there in the rock and roll scene.
We were given the porch, and we were told to just reach out to the other band, figure out what you're doing for everything, for sound, for equipment. So I reached out to the band and I said, you know, if you want to bring half of a PA system, we'll bring half of a PA system. So we'd bring like the head and the speakers, they'd bring the mics, the stands and the cables, just something like that.
Okay.
Where it's equity between, you know, both bands are doing the same-ish amount of work. So they contacted me back and said they didn't have access to a PA, so... But they would be willing to backline. They said they had mics and stands and drums and amps.
Right. And that sounded equitable. I agree with that. I said that's great.
I was super fine with that.
I've got a small PA system, just like a little, you know, four channel, couple speakers, and brought it. And
good for vocals. We didn't need any more than that. And then about 4 days before the show, I contacted them and I said, we need two guitar amps and a bass amp. That's all we need covered. And I got an email back saying, all we have is a bass amp. So of all the things they offered, it went from, like, the...
Backline.
The moon, full backline to a bass amp.
Okay.
And then day of the show, I wanted to see if they had an amp for you, actually.
Yeah.
So I contact them, and I'm like, you said you might get back to me about a guitar amp, what's going on with that? And they said, yeah, it's good. But at this point, we were 4 hours before the show.
Yeah.
And I think we were both a little bit...
I was definitely paranoid.
At this point.
When
the plans start to change, you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I'm just going to go get my amp, and then I'll have my own amp. So
yeah,
that'll be fine.
I was worried they were going to show up with like a PV Rage for you to play through. So we can't let that happen. So we ended up... So I tell them, you know what? We're going to bring our... We've got our drone drum set. We don't need to use yours, and we're bringing all our own amps. Well, we appreciate the offer, but I think we're just good with our own equipment. And you know, my setup's small, so that doesn't really bother me too much. So we got to the show, we played our set, everything was fine. I had a great time. I thought the PA sounded good. The crowd was good, like I said. And then the drummer comes up to the stage and he sees our drummer Rick packing up, and he's like, "Oh, I thought I was using your drum set."
And I immediately laughed out loud, and I was like, ha, 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 "No way, buddy!"
I may have done the same thing.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it was funny for me or more of a shock and awe, really.
Yeah, I think that's what it was for me. I was just like so surprised, I didn't know what to do.
So he said that the person, whoever is, I think they have their own social media person, because I was talking to a Hannah, and there's not a woman in the band.
Right.
And they said, hey, Hannah said you're bringing drums. And I said, no, I told Hannah we were bringing our drums for us, and that we didn't need to use your drums. No one said anything about you needing drums. So,
Yeah, that was pretty bizarre. But Rick really rolled with it.
Yep, our drummer Rick.
And that's why I laughed so nervously, is because Rick knows, he is schooled in many self-defense arts. I'm sure if he'd wanted to, he could have ended that hippie drummer's life.
I thought he was going to punch someone in the throat.
Yeah, who knows who it would have been.
It could have been the drummer, and maybe it was me.
It could have been you.
Miscommunication.
Yeah.
Maybe he's going to karate chop Hannah.
Yeah.
Who knows?
When Rick starts punching, I don't think there's much accuracy or judgment involved.
I'm happy we're in a band with a man who can just kick someone's ass.
Yeah.
Which we spoke to Rust Belt's brigade about later in our Band on the Street interview.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We'll hear that later in the episode.
But yeah, no, that's a great example of struggle. That's when you plan a show, when you're dealing with bands, that's just the kind of thing you have to roll with. And Rick was kind enough to stay and offer his drums, so he was planning on taking off, I think, pretty quickly after our set, but he didn't want to leave someone hanging, so.
Yeah, that was awesome of him. And I was already stuck there because I brought the PA for them to use for the rest of the set, so that was cool. So we ended up like hanging out in the street and listening to their set, and those guys were all real nice guys.
Yeah,
too.
They were
great. It was
great,
just a misunderstanding.
Yeah, nothing to get upset about.
Nope. So, but that was fun. That was Porch Fest 2018 for us, and we'll see what next year holds.
Oh, we'll definitely be there next year.
I think Britt wants us back on her porch, actually.
Really?
I kind of floated it, like, as a joke. I'm like, oh, like, next year we'll have to get back on your porch, ha ha ha. And I think she'd been sipping a few throughout the day.
That's the only way she'd want us back.
Yeah, maybe. No, because she, like, laser locked on me all weird, is what I'm saying. She was like, yeah, well, who was it who originally booked? You'll have to get a hold of them, and then we'll have to make sure when the list comes available and the dates are announced. I'm like, Jesus, lady, I was just making conversation. Like,
Your Brit voice sounds like you're going, like, half Bob Dylan.
She's sounding kind of like Bob Dylan a little bit.
Oh, that's booze will do that to you.
Yeah.
That's a PSA from The Struggle Is Real.
So, Ryan, oh seer of the scene, oh argumentative Argus, what's happening in the 716?
I don't know what an Argus is, but I'm going to take that as a compliment.
It absolutely is.
So,
it's a giant in Greek mythology, a hundred-eyed giant.
Fucking right.
Yeah.
All right. So, first, Dennis and I went to a local concert recently. It was Mike Frazier and the Dying Wild, Rust Belt Brigade, First Ward, and Eves at Mohawk Place.
Yeah, that was a fun night.
Yeah, there will be, probably by the time this episode's out, there should be a review on all WNY Radio you can check out. Mike Frazier was real cool. He was kind of a singer-songwriter. There's a lot of country. I heard some power pop in there, too. He put on a real fun set. We have a fun interview with him coming up. Rust Belt Brigade did their thing, which is, how would you describe their music best?
I would say it's aggressive Americana.
I like that. Yeah. It's Americana with the little punk attitude thrown in.
Yeah.
They don't mind getting a little loud, and I dig that.
Yeah, and their singer just got this awesome, like, talk about somebody singing in a full throat.
Oh, my goodness.
Like, he sings in, like, two full throats.
Yeah,
like, he's got some sort of fucking bullfrog chamber.
Yeah, no, he can belt. He's a great singer.
Yeah. And his bass player, who also went over to the guitar, he sang, too. And
the banjo player
is doing a bunch of singing. So that's a talent that they have, is to be able to
switch around.
Yeah.
It's a flexibility.
Mm-hmm.
Always look for flexibility. there was First Ward as well. They kind of have a rock with, would you say, well, it's kind of Americana too, what they do, maybe.
Yeah,
a little
and I hear like some, I hear some replacements in there.
Oh,
a
absolutely.
Little bit.
And Eves was the last band. Eves kind of had a, I thought it almost had kind of an 80s new wave vibe to what they did. Singer has this really low, I was thinking Echo and the Bunnymen when I heard his voice.
I thought Michael Stipe, R.E.M.
Okay.
is what it reminded me of. In a good way. He sang very low, and you know, sometimes that's a challenge in a live environment. I can only imagine how little he heard of himself.
Yeah.
You know, at Mohawk Place with the sound
we
resounding
could barely
around
hear
there. Yeah, yeah. So
yeah, it's one of the problems of singing in the low register.
Yeah, I want to hear like a record. I actually haven't heard a recording of them yet.
As we're gonna find out at the Band Lotto on June 2nd, I'm not the best singer in the world, but you know, if you are gonna sing in a band, if you haven't had any sort of vocal lessons, it's certainly worth going onto YouTube and finding some instructional videos how to do that, because I think, at least what I saw with Singer of Eves, what I'm going to have in my review, is he wasn't really opening his mouth very much.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's, you need to really open and enunciate so people can hear you. And I feel like if he would have done something like that, we might have been able to hear him a little better.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, a lot of people, you know, they get into, I mean, Nate, you've never taken a singing lesson, have you?
Ouch.
Why do you just assume he's never taken a singing lesson?
You know what?
Have you?
I have. Yes.
Oh shit!
But
I feel like an asshole now.
Not
10 years of them, actually.
No. Let me. I'll make you sound like less of an asshole. Just give me a second.
Yeah, it's gonna take a while.
Yeah.
Everybody get comfortable. This might take a while.
I have not recorded any music with having. I just started vocal lessons about 2 months ago. After my last album was produced. And I'm
oh,
like,
wow.
I spent so much time trying to get my vocals not to sound terrible. I'm like, I just need to learn how to sing right. So I've been about 2.5 months now.
So cool. But yeah, I mean, it helps, right?
Oh, absolutely.
What's the first thing they're showing you? What's the biggest basis there?
I think it's different. The thing about going to a vocal teacher instead of just on YouTube is because the voice is like the most unique instrument in existence, right? It's so based on your physical body and everybody's different.
Yeah, it's just you.
So for my biggest problem was that I was not using enough air.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I wasn't. So, I mean, that like totally expanded my range too. I'm singing a lot higher than I thought was even possible, but...
That was a really great show though. That was a tangent from a great show.
Yes,
I'm trying to wrap it back up.
That's cool. Later in the episode, we'll be interviewing all the bands. We'll be playing some of their music.
Yes.
So stay tuned for that. And then not exactly in the 716. I don't know what the Rochester is. Rochester the 315?
Is it 585?
518's Albany. I think it might be 315.
Okay.
I'm just
going to
guess.
What's happening to 315?
Yeah, sure. I went to see Andrew W.K. at the Montage Music Hall. And let me tell you, Dennis, it was incredible.
Awesome.
It was amazing. So, Andrew W.K., he's corny. Like, it's corny.
That's what I hear.
Kind of butt rock.
I've kind of tuned him out so completely that I don't even know he's corny.
So
you seem to like him.
It's music performed with the most amount of joy I've ever seen.
Okay.
All he wants to do, he wants everyone to be included, he wants everyone to party, and all of his songs, I sang along to a couple songs I didn't even know the words to going in.
More joy than ICP?
Oh boy. Yeah, more joy than ICP.
Does he spray Faygo on his bandmates?
He doesn't, but he does have a guitar shaped like a taco.
Okay, oh, that's pretty joyous.
Hard shell, or...
Yes, hard shell.
Okay, good question.
There's also a pizza guitar, but that wasn't brought on the stage. And before his last song, he's like, let's count down into the last song. And everyone knew it was going to be Party Hard. That's like his giant hit.
Okay, yeah.
So everyone's like, okay, we're going to count down from 10 or something. He made us count down from 100. 100. 99. 90.
That's awfully fun.
It took a couple minutes to get there. But mm-hmm. No, it was just, the music's kind of corny. He's a great musician. Mm-hmm. His first couple albums, he played every instrument. He does a lot of the engineering. He's a classically trained guitar player. He's an inspirational inspirational speaker. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of all that just bundled into one that I think make for a really exciting package when you go live.
Wow.
And it's just the kind of anthemic, is that how you say it?
Sure, absolutely.
Sure. Yeah. It's the kind of anthemic music that you can kind of just like pump your fist to.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you get a chance to see him, I hope he comes to Buffalo.
Okay.
See him.
And you were doing some fist pumping in Rochester then.
Yeah, I was. I was rocking out. A lot of singing along.
Yeah.
Even a little dancing. A little.
Oh.
Just a little. So yeah, let's talk about some upcoming shows. So it's Yellow Sauce, Janie Crash, and the Tall Men, one band, and then All Poets and Heroes, and us. So it's $5 at the door. Show, I believe, we play first right at 10. They're all really good bands. We've never played Nietzsche's before, have we?
Yeah, no, we haven't. That should be exciting.
So, yeah, it's a nice place. The bathrooms are typically clean, which gets, my vote. So, come check us out. I have a problem with bathrooms. On June 2nd at the Polish Library, which again we'll have a link to on mm-hmm. the thing, is going to be the band lottery that I mentioned earlier. So come check it out. There's still 6 bands with 30 people who were randomly just matched with other people to play with, and I know what to expect from my band, and it's going to be really cool. It's going to mm-hmm. be some synth punk, but I don't know what any of the other bands are going to be like.
Yeah.
So it's going to be, I think it's going to be a really, this is a really interesting experiment.
And Matto and Norell that we had on the show last time, they're going to be in a band there playing,
only
right?
Norell.
Oh, okay.
Matto participated in previous years, but not this year.
Okay. Cool, so, but yeah, come out and support them, or you're friends with them now. You heard them on Fretboard Feud.
Absolutely, and all the money raised goes right to Sugar City, which is a great organization that's trying to just make art accessible to everyone.
Yeah, and by a stroke of mercy and great luck to everybody involved, although Sugar City itself is a drug and alcohol-free space, the performance is not, and there will be alcohol served at the Adam Miskowitz poetry and dramatic literary circle.
There is a bar there.
Yes, and so, probably drugs too.
So then on June 6th we have...
It's going to be an acid test Kool-Aid party, everybody. I'm dosing it.
I was talking about going... I'm gone a little Morrison, so that would actually make a lot of sense.
That would be perfect. Ride the snake, Ryan.
On June 6th, we have Good Old War playing at Mohawk Place. Nate, you're familiar with them. Why don't you tell us a bit about what they sound like, what their live shows are like, if you've ever seen them?
Yeah. I'm a big fan of their first couple albums, and I've seen them live once about 4 or 5 years ago. They've been around a minute, and it's like indie folk music, I would describe it, but full band. The drummer is very good. The guitarist, I think... Now I'm going to sound dumb about this. I believe it's a 3-piece, 2 guitars and a drummer. I'm not sure. I think they might tour with a bassist, but I'm not.
Oh, I hope so.
I'm not up to date on that. When I saw them, it was 2 guitarists and a drummer. And I think their biggest asset is harmony, is they all sing and they're all fantastic.
Oh, great.
So they'll do just like phenomenal, some of the best harmonies that I've heard a live band do. And the songwriting is just great, too. It's very like... classic Beatles-esque songwriting. So Dennis, you'd probably be a fan.
Oh yeah,
nothing like revolutionary, but like very, very, very well done.
Excellent. Yeah. So yeah, you can check that out at Mohawk Place on June 7th. Black Pistol Fire is coming to Buffalo Iron Works. They're kind of a garage rock indie band, kind of reminds you of the Black Keys, the White Stripes a little bit. I've never been to Buffalo Iron Works. I'm hoping they'll let me in to review the show, to be honest. Have either guys been to Iron Works?
I have not yet.
I've been there, yeah.
Is it, how is it as a rock club? The one basic review I've been getting from other artists is that they call it sterile. Kind of like clean,
like
and warehouse-y, looking, yeah.
Like not a lot of urine-soaked stickers everywhere,
yeah,
like most rock venues in Buffalo.
Almost like it doesn't have any character, I think.
Yeah.
Too.
Like
it's just kind of a
like
space.
No urinal patties right on
the
bar.
I didn't get that. It feels new and clean,
mm-hmm.
Not in a bad way,
okay.
Necessarily. I think it depends who's there, right?
Absolutely.
If it's an empty house, yeah, it's going to feel sterile, but what venue won't, you know?
That's a good point.
I don't know. It reminded me of Waiting Room is closed now, but if you were ever at Waiting Room.
I've never been to the Waiting Room. I was going to go to a concert. I was going to review a concert there like
yeah.
2 weeks before it closed.
I mean, and
any loogies in plain sight? Any whatsoever?
No. But they do have like a full menu. I don't know if they only serve during the day, but they have like poutine and stuff. So.
Oh, wow.
I hope I can review Black Pistol Fire.
Yeah, I hope I can get a photo pass.
Get some poutine. Which Dennis was unfamiliar with until we talked to Mike Frazier about it.
No, I have heard of it before. I just wasn't sure how to pronounce it. For some reason, I didn't realize it had the E at the end.
Buffalonian doesn't know how to say poutine.
What do you mean, Buffalo? It's like a Canadian thing.
We're practically Canadians.
Yeah, well, it's just coming down here.
All right, and then on June 15th at Mr. Goodbar is the This CD release party. The band This, just THIS, all caps. I've heard a little bit of stuff here and there. I would describe them as a punk band. They're a three-piece with a female vocalist, drums, two basses.
Wow.
I don't usually like get excited about local band releases because
yeah.
a lot of times there's not a lot of press leading up to it, really. But as soon as I saw this and I heard about the band, it's like I want to see this. And I've missed them a few times, which is unfortunate. I'm hoping we can get out and actually cover this concert if either you guys want to come out and take some video and interview some people.
Okay,
so,
we'll draw straws.
Yeah, hopefully we'll be there for that. Check them out. They're playing with Winsky, who's mm-hmm. another great local band.
Nobody called, but he answered. This is Ryan Goes to War.
Thank you, Dennis.
Masterful.
I mentioned this earlier. I love Andrew WK. He's severely underappreciated. He was playing Rochester, and I haven't traveled outside of Buffalo in 6 years because of ongoing health problems that I have. So, but seeing Andrew WK for the first time in almost 20 years inspired me to give it a try. So to make sure that I was capable of the trip, I got an Airbnb for the for 2 days, so I didn't have to worry about traveling until the days before and after the concert. So got to Rochester, everything was great. Then the day of the concert, like I typically do, I called the Montage Music Hall to speak with someone about accessibility. I tried the phone number on their Facebook page. That number is no longer in use. What?
Oh.
So then, we'll try again. I found a second phone number
for
Montage and got a message saying that this Verizon customer does not have voicemail set up.
Uh-oh.
Who the hell runs this place? What venue doesn't have a phone that works? So finally, I gave up on trying to call them and I sent them a message on Facebook. I hate using Facebook for things quite like this. I just want to have someone that I can speak to. I want to, you know, if I send a Facebook message, I don't know when they're going to get it. If I talk to someone on the phone, they got it.
Sure.
So, I briefly explained my situation, and the Montage Music Hall's response is, "This is a standing show only, Ryan." They didn't say, "We're sorry, you can't help." Like, they didn't say, "We're sorry, we can't help," or anything like that. Just a straight-up no.
Wow.
Now, first of all, this is a violation of the Americans with Disabilities Act. And secondly, this is the most cold and callous response I've received maybe in my lifetime from anyone regarding accommodations for my illness. I responded to him by asking, I said, there's really not a single chair that I can use. No response. And then I sent them another message explaining that they were in violations with the Americans with Disability Acts and asking them how callous they could be again. And no response. So, you know, I didn't travel 2 hours and pay $100 for an Airbnb to not see Andrew WK. So I decided to contact my personal superhero. And I went on Twitter, and I reached out to Mr. WK myself. 2:30 p.m., I tweeted him what was going on, and then I took my afternoon sick guy nap. I woke up and found that I had a new tweet, and it wasn't a message from Andrew. It wasn't the one I was hoping for, but it was from After Dark Presents, who, they promote lots of shows locally here. They go from here to Syracuse, I believe. Mm-hmm. And they contacted me to tell me that the venue has been contacted and I'm all set. So, my wife and I arrived at the Montage Music
Hall.
I told the guy that I was the pain in the ass they were
dealing
with.
So all he said was, you're all set, all that the
management
said was...
Yeah, he said your accommodations are set.
Oh, okay.
Simple as that.
Wow.
Best thing ever. I wanted to take a second here to thank After Dark and Andrew WK for both being awesome, and I wanted to give Montage Music Hall a giant fuck you, and I want to let them know that I'm going to be writing reviews. There's an article coming out on All WNY Radio about this. I'll be leaving a review at every website I can, and I'm going to let everyone know about this fucking nonsense, because no one should have to deal with bullshit like this.
Hi, this is Nate Nuorta, the new intern, and you're listening to...
Can you try it faster?
Yep. The Struggle is Real, Buffalo Music Podcast...
Slower!
On allwnyradio.com.
He's a natural.
Love it. returning to the podcast after appearing on episode 13 for a Band on the Street interview. For a full proper interview is Tom Burtless.
Yep.
From Humble Braggers.
Hi, Tom, thanks for coming.
Yeah, thanks for having me here.
The synth pop
provocateurs.
Oh, God. You give me words in this script that I can't read.
Excuse me. I do that on purpose.
I also saw online that you are a DJ for Dance Yourself Thin.
Dance Yourself Clean.
Dance Yourself Clean. Yes. What is that?
So a buddy of mine, Nick Muldoon, who was a writer for BuffaBlog, for a number of years, started a hipster dance party. November 2016 it started. Okay. He's since moved to Manchester, but we've kind of kept it going. So it's a hipster dance party. So Dance Yourself Clean is the name of an LCD Sound System song.
Okay.
And so it's just like a hipster dance party. We do it at mostly.
Also, this isn't like a new 12-step kind of program, right?
No.
You're not like getting off of.
No. Not okay. Dance Yourself Thin. I'm not a Zumba instructor yet. No, but yeah, it's a cool thing we do. We try to do it maybe once a month.
Sure. Where is it usually? What venues have you been
to that? So we just did Hardware for. So I do it with my best friend Ben Parsons, who is also a singer for. We have a Strokes cover band called Different Strokes.
Oh, cool! Brilliant.
Yeah. and then so him and I do it. Brian Johnson from Brian Johnson and Family, Honeycomb, Mutual Friends.
I'm in a Bandolato band with him. Actually.
Oh, really?
We had practice last night. Yeah.
Oh, funny. Yeah,
Brian's awesome. Yeah.
He's one of the DJs in Dance Yourself Clean.
Oh, I didn't know
and
that.
And then our friend Allison Lavis. And so, yeah, together we do these things. So we just did one at Hardware last weekend. And I think our next one is at Milky's on June 1st. So it's usually those two, Hardware and Milky's.
Sure. Now, what's the difference between a dance party and a hipster dance party?
A dance party, I think if someone was throwing a dance party, I feel like you toe a line of wedding songs. What I'm talking about? When you go to a wedding and it's just those generic songs.
Yeah, I think No Love Shack is
No
the,
Love
Shack.
Yes, perfect. No Love Shack, no September by Earth, Wind & Fire.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is a great song. Don't get me wrong. But
I think the proper dance party for me is a hipster dance party.
Fair enough.
And you can still enjoy YMCA too. That is part of it. Yeah. But it's with a wink.
Yeah. No Love Shack.
It's a
Rock Lobster.
Absolutely.
It's still the B-52s. It just changes what's appropriate.
Yeah.
There you go.
So let's talk about Humble Braggers.
Yes.
Because I love this band that you're in.
Thank you very much.
I heard you a while ago. Ryan turned me on to the group. But last night, as I was getting ready for the interview, I just was on Spotify, streaming, the three things that you got up there.
Yeah.
And it's all great. It's all, it's very synthy. There's a lot of nice, cool guitar lines. There's shades of Franz Ferdinand I hear in there.
Maybe a little bit.
Yeah. Shades, but. Everything reminds me of I kept having this recurring image of being in a club at 3 a.m. and the chemicals are wearing off, but there's still some good feelings. There's still those little waves, but it's just that point where you start to see that maybe there's a sordid underbelly to all of this, and is this person that I'm with? And every song reminded me of a very lush atmosphere and a sort of bittersweet, like a candy sweet veneer and a little bit of an emerging.
Really had a moment.
I had a moment. I had many moments. It's great stuff. And
thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Yeah. And so, are you enjoying? You must be making tons of money from Spotify, right?
we do okay. We do okay. I'm not the biggest hater of Spotify.
Yeah.
We've been on.
It delivers music to the people, right? I mean, the stuff's there. It's sounding great. It's streaming. It's looking great.
Yeah,
I mean,
people have access, and that's really the important part.
I think, I get in this debate a lot with certain music friends.
Yeah.
I won't name, but I have one friend in particular.
The podcast has some too. I understand.
I have one friend who plays in a prominent local band, and him and I talk about this a lot. And I guess my perspective on Spotify is. It's kind of broken down a barrier where, it's sure, if you want to say, if you want to support music, then buy the records and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
should I keep going?
Is that Spotify calling?
The way that I've always looked at it is, it's a good It's broken down a barrier of it's fine to say, yeah, if you want to support musicians and people that you love, like, buy their records, buy their music. But, like, if you're 16 and you maybe have, like, a minimum wage job, like, how much money can you have a lot towards music? Yeah. And I'd rather people be exposed to more music by being able to pay $10 a month and then buy the stuff that they really love and care about on vinyl or on CDs or whatever, but be able to take in a variety of different music instead of just kind of forcing themselves to buy, like, only listen to the music that they buy.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, so people agree. Still have, yeah, an opportunity to vote with their dollars. It's just the Spotify stuff probably takes the place almost of radio, you know, or you used to listen to radio for free all the
time. Right, and I think that's totally fine. I mean, I'd rather someone find us through Spotify and, you know, stream a couple of our songs and not find us at all.
Yeah, plus thank God the future is here. How old are you?
27.
I am 44, and I remember when I was like, I know, it sounds fucking crazy, but when I was like 18, 19, I had, you know, CDs, and I had like, and I still have about 600 CDs.
Sure.
And I am so happy to be free of that, of that load that I'm like carrying into my car and then into my workspace. You know, now it's just
forget that little visor thing that holds the CDs up. They always get scratched when you pull it in and out. Like,
right.
Or the CD booklets. I remember I had one in my car. Literally, I just got the stereo changed in my car to be like a Bluetooth stereo. It doesn't have a CD player.
Oh, but wow.
For the past, I mean, since I've, for over 10 years, since I've been driving, I had a CD booklet always in my car. And now, like, I haven't bought a CD in, I don't know how many years.
Yeah.
So, like, it was full. I think the newest album that I had in there was maybe like In Rainbows by Radiohead, which is fine. But I maybe when I didn't have my phone or it was dead or I was in Canada or something where I couldn't like stream music, I've listened to that record probably over like 1,000 times at this point. But that's fine.
Yeah, okay, but it's so nice to just be able to go on and be like Humble Braggers, and then there you guys are. And
I think
and I'm
too
screaming.
On the opposite side, you know, if you do love a band, like if I have my albums every year that I listen to more than anything else. And those I feel an obligation. I've listened to this enough on Spotify and I love this music enough that it's worth that I should support this artist and buy this record.
Right. Yeah, so you describe your sound as synth pop, or at least Will in this question that he wrote for us alleges that you do. Given the rise of 80s nostalgia in the last few years, are you getting a different audience reaction to that kind of synth pop sound than you would have been, say, 5 years ago? Do you notice any difference?
So, I mean, this all kind of came from, what's the best way to get into this? I think, you know, it's the rise of 80s music or the return of 80s music is probably at its peak right now.
Yeah.
But I mean, it started, like, if you go back to, I'd say probably 2011 with like M83's Hurry Up, We're Dreaming. If you listen to that record, that is straight out of the throes of 80s music, which was like when that came out and the kind of the music around that time period, which wasn't necessarily super 80s inspired, but very electronic based. So Washed Out, Neon India, and all these bands from that kind of era, it started pulling from that. And it's stuff that I never really heard before or listened to that much, which then kind of got me to go backwards and listen to Tears for Fears and Depeche Mode and kind of find these records. And now, like, Songs from the Big Chair is probably like in my top five albums of all time.
Oh, wow,
I absolutely love that record. But, like, I was kind of, you know, I was taken aback by how much I loved M83 and all these other bands. Said, well, where did this come from? Like, where did they source their inspiration?
Yeah.
And Anthony Gonzalez, the guy from M83, had said, like, well, it's the whole album was rooted in nostalgia from when he was a kid. So he's in his, like, mid to late 30s. So when he was a kid in the 80s, his parents were listening to Tears for Fears. And so he was listening to, like, all that kind of stuff. And so I was like, all right, well, let's kind of give this a try. My parents were never big, like, new wavy fans necessarily.
Yeah.
And so they liked Tears for Fears.
What were they into? What did you grow up listening to in the background?
So my dad, which there's definitely influence of this in our music because I like them. My dad was huge on U2, which I love U2.
Yeah.
And so there's definitely a little bit, maybe in the vocals and the guitars, I definitely pulled from, I love delay and I love, like,
I can hear those atmospheric guitars.
Right, yeah. And so I definitely pulled from that. So my dad was big in U2 and Beatles.
Yes. the best.
It's a good place to start, yeah.
And then my mom was big on like R&B and soul, so there was a lot of like Marvin Gaye, Luther Vandross, Stevie Wonder. So a lot of stuff like that. So it was kind of an interesting, like, which I now reach for that kind of stuff, my mom's kind of music now. Like, I've really gotten into, like, Marvin Gaye in the past few years. And but to go back to, I guess, the original, I feel like I got a little sidetracked.
Oh, yes. That's what we're here for.
Yeah. There's definitely a lot of more people are open to it now, with things on the rise of, like, Stranger Things that are kind of, like, really embodying
80s. Yeah, with 80s. All those synths.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The group Survive that does the theme song for Stranger Things. Mm-hmm. With music like that that's on the rise. Yeah, I mean, it's cool. I'm happy. I'm happy about it, I guess. And, yeah, we've seen there's definitely a fan base that's come out for it. Mm-hmm. And I think it's cool, too, for people that love the stuff from the 80s. We have a very mixed bag fan base of there's kids, like younger, like, you know, the 20 somethings that saw us open for Joywave at Town Ballroom. But there's definitely been some older people who have seen us play and just like, you guys remind me of Tears for Fears, or you remind me of, you know, Erasure, or like whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of, I don't know, it's kind of cool to be able to bridge that gap a little bit, I guess.
So how did you get the opportunity to have your music featured on The Flash and iZombie?
So those came around. So we've been signed to Admirable Traits.
Old guy alert. What's The Flash and iZombie? What?
So those
you know what The Flash is. It's from the comic book.
Okay.
It's a TV show.
Yeah.
And iZombie is a CW TV show about a woman who solves crime by eating the brains of the murder victims.
I was going to guess that. Okay. Sorry.
I watched a couple episodes. The girl's cute.
The
music's really good.
That's why I watched Supergirl. That got me through 7 episodes of Supergirl just now.
There you go. Yeah,
but sorry.
So we've been signed. There's a local label, Admirable Traits Records, that we've been signed to since 2015. So we're going on our third year. And so we signed with them and we put out Disposable Friends in 2015. And then, so they have someone that does licensing. They have a licensing agent who, you know, utilizes our material amongst, like, other bands' material.
Sure.
And other labels' material, too. But basically, we're on the short list of stuff that these reps will throw at someone like a CW or whatnot to be like, oh, I think this will be a good fit. So, like, someone like a CW, like... agent comes like, hey, we need something that sounds kind of in this realm for this long of a scene. Like, what do you have?
So, and the songs are already in the can. They don't, like, commission a specific product.
No, so they have, like, a list of stuff that they're kind of looking through and working with. But luckily, we've got chosen and it landed those two times. We've had opportunities with other ones, too, that haven't landed.
Sure.
And some that, fingers crossed, might be happening soon, so
and
it's a cool thing for sure.
Is it uncouth to ask? Do you guys get some remuneration for this? I'm sure you do.
Yes.
And does it feel significant?
Yes.
What's the, no kidding. And then what do you do with that? That gets invested back in the band.
Yeah.
Or?
So we use all that money we used it for gear and our album, our full length that we put out last year. We used that for. It's nice.
somebody tipped us $10 at Hot Mama's.
Yeah,
so, there you go.
Yeah,
I know
what you're saying.
It's not that kind of money.
We had to fill out a tax form. I'm not even joking. We had to fill out a tax form.
Well, it was left near us. I think with the expectation that we would fill it out, and there was a stiff breeze, and
a
dog came
we're
along.
We're fucking evading the law.
And
IRS is coming.
So yeah, you said you've been on Admiral Records since 2015. Who else is on that label? Anyone?
So Admirable Traits has, I think, the current roster, like the active one, is us, Mags, band Mags, Dream Meaches.
Mm-hmm.
They just put out their newest release. I'm trying to think who else.
They will be on the next episode, actually. Corey and Korath.
Cothan,
thank you.
Korath.
Well, what about Cothan? That's not much better.
I don't get normal names right.
I'm gonna change his contact name.
Yeah, was he Korath. Like a was he like a G.I. Joe villain? What is that, Korath?
Yeah, they're great. They're great guys. Actually, three of the Dream Beach's guys used to actually play in Humble Braggers.
Oh, okay.
And we've all lived together at one point or another too.
Oh.
So we're very, very good friends with the Dream Beaches guys. But they're on the label Mags.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think. I feel like I'm spacing on some that I'm gonna get mad about later. Oh, Sonny Baker.
Okay.
Is on there too. I can't think of anybody. I think they put out like some Aircraft. They put out Brian Johnson Family. They put out so like a bunch of different like. You know, local bands.
Have all your releases been with them?
All of them except for the first one. Safe okay. Haven, that came out in 2013.
Right.
That was just me throwing
okay.
out.
Okay.
Sure. Now, did the label come to you? Did you kind of solicit to them? How did you get that going?
So, Mike Moretti, who's the guy who runs the label, in like late 2014, we were helping them out. We were actually helping them out with an album release show. We opened for Brian Johnson Family when they were putting out their release on Admirable. And so we were doing the show and Mike had just kind of asked like, hey, what are you guys working on right now? Just as like a cold call. I sent him some demos of songs I was working on. I think I had like All Alone and How It Starts finished at that point. So I sent those two over to him and he was just like, whoa. It's like, what are you doing with these? I was just like, I don't know. I'm going to like put them out at some point. And he's like, well, would you want to do it on the label? And so then we met and got lunch and talked and, you know, the rest is history. And so our next release, which is yet to be announced, will also be on Admirable.
That's great. So it's the most recent album is your 2017 release, I Know Better, I'm No Better,
yeah.
to date. And the production on all your stuff is outstanding.
Yeah,
it really sounds great. And I saw in the notes that it was recorded at Old Bear Studio in Batavia.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We actually just had Narelle from Honeycomba on the last episode, and
they
also recorded their 2016 album, Seven Songs, at that same establishment, which is also a very atmospheric record. So tell me about Old Bear Studio. Is it a cool place to record?
So funny thing about that. So Narelle from Honeycomba, right?
Yeah. So and Mole Walkers.
Yeah.
And Mole Walkers. So Narelle, so I played in Honeycomba, so I recorded the drums on that record.
Oh awesome.
I was there twice in because we recorded that in early September, the Honeycomba record.
Mm-hmm.
And then we came back and recorded there for the Humble Braggers stuff in October, November. So we tracked drums there for the Humble Braggers record.
Mm-hmm.
And we track guitar and everything else at Elliot from Mags ended up mixing the record and recording it. And so we ended up doing the guitars and bass at his like house, actually. Mm-hmm. But we did the drums there. And it's nice because it's a pretty like open space. You can really do whatever you want. When we did the Honeycomba stuff, it was, you know, when you hear those tracks, you know, Elliot also track that stuff too.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some work done on it, but it's all of us in a room together.
Oh, that's
so
great.
We tracked everything
live. You can get that vibe from it, I think, when you listen to it.
Yeah, and I think it's music that plays well into it. You know, I have this conversation with a few different people, a few different like band guys, about like certain types of music that do really well with that. So like the Slums record that came out this past fall, like hardcore band, they did the same thing at GCR. They all tracked together in a room. And I think you get a different energy when you, especially when music really is meant, like that kind of music is meant to really be heard at a show or heard live. And that was kind of the same deal with Honeycomba, where you kind of want it to really have that feel to it. You don't want it to feel so studio.
Polished, yeah.
Right. Where, on the other hand, Humble Braggers, I want to be as much polished as possible.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
So, but no, it was a really great, it was an awesome studio to record in. It's a really cool vibe. It's out in Batavia. They have some great gear, some great sounding drums. I forget what kit we actually used, but no, it was a really good vibe. Really, really
That's
nice
great.
Place.
Yeah, our lead guitar player is from Batavia. He never mentioned that place before.
Yeah, it's a cool spot.
He's not in the know.
No, he's cleaned out. He's checked out.
Clearly not. So you've been on bills with Metric, Arkells, The Naked and Famous, Joywave. Do you have any memorable backstage stories? You don't have to name names.
Sure.
Like, if you want to, that's fine, but if you can...
I think with those big shows, I mean, we've opened for a bunch of different national bands at this point, mm-hmm. and, like, it's funny because those shows that are, like, huge, everyone's been super nice and super down to earth. When we played the Arkell show, which is probably the biggest show that we've played because it was at Art Park, and I don't know if it was sold out, but it was a stupid amount of people there. I remember, like, we were eating catering with them before or after our sound check or whatever, and like I didn't know what the guys looked like. Like, I'd heard an Arkell song here and there, and Atlas Genius was on the bill too, but I didn't know what any of those guys looked like at all. And so we just sat down with what I thought was maybe just a table of like roadies, but it was the Arkells, and they were just like asking us questions, just like, oh, so you guys are from Buffalo, like, have you played here before? And like, super down to earth.
Yeah.
And we've played for bands at like maybe Waiting Room or whatever, like national bands, who like won't step outside like the room, yep. and won't even like make eye contact and like won't even say a word to you.
Yeah.
And so like to get that from a band that's like playing these huge shows, or a Metric that's on tour, they were very nice.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of like, wow, like you absolutely don't have to be this nice at all, but you are, and it's really cool. And the guy from the Arkells like watched our set from the side of the stage, that's which is cool. Like, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Those kind of things are nice. The Joywave show was a bit different because I've known Dan for at least like 4 years now, maybe for 3 or 4 years. And Cops, who was also on the bill, we've played with
awesome.
A bunch of times.
Yeah, they were so cool.
And so, you know, I've known all those guys for a bit, so I don't know if there was necessarily a ton of crazy backstage stories. I think that was probably the biggest thing was just,
the story of camaraderie.
It was nice. And then the guys from Arkells brought down beer from, Hamilton. And so we're just cracking beers and hanging out with those guys for like after the show and stuff. So that was like probably still my favorite show, just because it was such a rad, crazy experience. And I mean, it was like a perfect night for Art Park.
Yeah.
So
did they give you guys the beer that they confiscated from other people who had tried to bring beers into Art Park? they did that for me one time. The one time that I played an actual like a catered show. I was in a Grateful Dead cover band called the Maniacs for a lot of years, and we played in Owego, New York, at some sort of hippie festival out in the woods. This is like, geez, like 2001,
okay.
And the Wailers were the headliners, or like whatever iteration is together
now.
It's like the third cousin and somebody saw the roadie in a passing car once. Like that's but they had a real nice, like, you know, tent set up and everything. And as we came in, there was just these coolers there, and you could see it was all these different beers from everybody who'd, you know, they tried to get into the park, and they said, oh, sorry, no glass, we'll take that beer, and they gave it to us.
That's
amazing.
It's pretty awesome.
Dennis.
Yeah.
How are we doing on time for you?
We're doing good on time. We got 15 minutes.
Okay.
Okay.
Still. So let's keep firing. Let's introduce a song.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So let's hear some
music. Why don't you tell us about a song you would like us to play and you can introduce it.
Ooh.
And if you have any world premieres that you wanted to do on the podcast,
too. Special announcements.
Something like that.
No
pressure. You know, we're really desperate for numbers, but...
Nothing yet.
Okay.
We have a thing. I'll give a little tease that we have a.
There we go.
We have a song. Our next single comes out about a month from today. So I don't know when this goes live.
So today is May 18th, 19th. So this episode will go live.
It's supposed to go June 1st.
So
whenever Scott Leffler wants it to go up.
15 days.
Okay.
From when.
So in 15 days there will be a special announcement.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe we can feature the song on a future podcast.
Yeah.
Maybe. I would absolutely be down for that.
So, but what do you want to play now?
Yeah. What can we play now?
Ooh. All right. I've been trying to push this one. The song off of our newest record called Better is probably my favorite song that released right now. So it was it's the only song that we have released that's drum machine, all synthesizers, and no I don't believe there's any live instruments on it at all.
Interesting.
So, and that kind of inspired where the new record is going, which we got rid of guitar.
Oh, wow.
Completely. So.
And what about drums?
Oh, yeah. Drums are still in it. So on the new record, there's a blend of, so I'll talk about that. The new record, there's a blend of real drums, drum machine, and kind of all that stuff, and real bass, synth bass, everything in between. But there is no guitar at all.
Interesting.
I kind of decided Better was the last song that we recorded, before we put out the album. And it was kind of one where I was like, I didn't really know if it was going to make the cut, but I like really liked it. And I just had to like finish fleshing out the song and writing the lyrics. But I loved it, and it was kind of freeing in a way to be like, all right, I don't have to like we don't have to come up with a guitar part. Like, what if we just had a song that didn't have guitar? And we're like, oh, well, okay, let's give that a try. Because I feel like, I don't know, you play in a band long enough where like, all right, well, this person does this thing, and you do this thing, and I do this thing. And we kind of just decided to say, well, what if we just got rid of it? Like, it doesn't need it. So here we go. So I would say Better.
All right, so Better. Here is Better on the Struggle is Real Buffalo Music Podcast on
allwnyradio.com. It's like we have one brain. Between us.
Yes. One full brain. We're back with Tom.
Still talking with Tom.
Yes.
Humble Braggers.
Thank you, Dennis. So, how do you approach songwriting as a band? Is it, is it one brain that's writing everything, or is it kind of more of a little bit of everyone?
So, so this band started as just me. So, Safe Haven and Disposable Friends were both me in a bedroom doing everything.
Oh, wow.
And so, yeah, so when it came to the full length, that was the first time I kind of decided, you know, it had been, Brian, Matt, and I for like a good chunk of time. And, you know, it was a few enough people where I kind of approached it in a sense of, I have these songs started. So everything off the last record was like, I have some of these songs started. So I have a verse idea, maybe a chorus idea, maybe just even like an intro idea. And then I would bring them to the songs to the guys and be like, what do we want to do with this? And so like, Matt, what is the, like, what drums do you hear? Like, here's what I had in mind, but what do you hear? And Brian, this is the riff I had in mind. What do you think we could do off of this? And so I kind of had all these have songs started, and then we finished them as a band.
Now that takes a lot of trust, doesn't it? From somebody who's used to sitting in the studio, because I can kind of commiserate with you, if that's the right word. I've recorded hundreds of home demos just sitting there.
Sure.
And there is a level of, uncertainty when you bring it to other people.
Oh, absolutely.
That went pretty well. You found folks that were complimentary to your vision?
I think, you know, we're not always all on the same page. Mm-hmm. And we definitely learned that with this new batch of songs that are coming out, which we did a different way too, and I'll get into that. But, for the album, I felt like I needed to be able to trust them. I was like, mm-hmm. these songs matter to me a lot. So the album's about like this crazy breakup I went through and stuff like that a few years ago. And I was like, these songs matter a lot to me from what they're about. And just, I care about these songs deeply. And so they have to be done the right way and mm-hmm. written at their like the best they can be, I guess.
Right.
And so... Yeah, I put it trust in their hands, and there were some misses maybe here and there, but for the most part, like, you know, when we were starting to write these songs, we kind of wrote it more from a live perspective, and they felt great. And at that point, too, because everyone was kind of contributing, everyone felt it more. You know, when we were playing songs off Disposable Friends or Safe Haven live, you know, it's a song that's been out that I recorded in my basement. How much does Brian have playing that bass line that he didn't write to it? You know what I mean?
Right. Now they got some skin in the game.
Exactly. Like, I wrote this part, or we did this song together. So there's a more of a tie to it. And I kind of realized, you know, the reason that we've had like a variety of lineup changes, and kind of the reason for that was I pretty much, to people that joined the band for a while, I was like, here's the songs. So you're going to learn these songs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
and that's fine for a while, and people, you know, if they like the music, and that's great. But if you don't feel a tie to it, then you're not going to stay in it.
Yeah,
you know
you're probably going
to
jump to something else.
Right. And there was no hard feelings ever with anybody that's left the band. But I kind of realized, like, unless people really feel like they're tied to these songs, why would they stick around?
No, I mean, it can almost feel like you're in a cover band sometimes when you jump into a situation like that where it's just, here's the list of songs we play.
Yeah.
Right.
There's already all your parts are written. Here's the part of the stage you stand on.
I try to leave a few things for you guys in the songs.
I do what I want regardless of what you tell me typically.
I just thought you didn't remember what I told you.
A little of both.
Son of a bitch.
A little. I can certainly do both.
So... I got to get this one in. Should I buy a Moog Little Fatty?
They're pretty cool. I haven't played around with one too much. I mean, you're looking for like bass tones? What are you looking for?
I'm looking for just cool analog, Moog, squawky versatility.
Okay.
So bass would be some of it, but I definitely like some higher stuff too.
I think, I mean, from what I've heard, I'm not... All right, so like my expertise is way more on 80s pad prominent synths.
Mm-hmm, right.
So Jupiters, Junos, like that whole gamut.
Okay.
I'm not super good on Moogs and mono synths for the most part. I've heard very good things, especially in terms of their bass sound.
Yeah.
So if that's prominently where you're going for, that'd be great. But if you're looking for more versatility, you might want to...
Maybe not.
Maybe
okay,
a different
cool. Question. All right, well, I'm glad I got that question in there.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, well, I think that's all the time we have here today.
Tom, thank you so much.
Thank you guys for having me.
Oh, I was going to have you promote some of your shows, too. We'll do that in the other segment that we do about upcoming shows, because I think you've got some festivals and stuff coming out. So we'll be sure to
we'll talk
about that.
Absolutely.
I appreciate that.
So, yeah, cool, man.
Awesome.
Well, thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you, guys.
We will be back in 2 weeks on June 15th for an interview with and music from the Atmospheric Dream Beaches.
Be sure to check out the website of our mysterious benefactors, allwnyradio.com, and get into the other programming there. That includes streaming web radio of all local music, local news, music reviews, the Think So Joe podcast.
Which I believe is hosted by Colonel Lobster Seinfeld.
That's correct. Corey Comments, the new Nick and Dan show, Scott Leffler, and The Big Picture with Michael Sargent, a podcast about digital photography and teen pregnancy prevention strategies.
Covers a little everything.
Yeah.
You can visit us on buffalomusicpodcast.com for an enhanced podcast experience. You can find our Spotify playlists of local bands, our Facebook, our Twitter, all that, and whatever awesome new video content Nate helps us come up with.
As always, Ryan's personal Twitter is at Sir William Idol, and if you want to be featured on the show, hit us up.
Well, thanks for listening, and keep on struggling.
Great show, guys.
Woo!
Hi, this is Nate Nawarta, the new intern, and you're listening to The Struggles...
I really do have a note here. can you read it at a medium, more of a medium tempo? and then I'm going to tell you to go, because you're already too fast, so if I tell you to go faster...
Yeah.
Life imitating art. All right, sorry.